The Red Alert Radio team are taking a summer break and will be back live in February. Till then, they've chosen some of their best interviews from the last year, and we're going to be playing some of those for you now.
Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to another episode of Red Alert Radio on Planet FM 104.6. My name is Priyanka Radhakrishnan, Labourist MP based in the electorate of Maunga Kiakia. Today in the studio with me, I've got a very special guest. Her name is Ishi Sharma, and she's actually part of this year's Youth MP program, and she's my Youth MP. Welcome, Ishi.
Kia ora, Priyanka. It's so cool to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Would you like to start by maybe telling us a little bit about the Youth MP program?
Yeah, sure. So basically the Youth MP program happens every three years. It's organised by the Ministry for Youth Development, and basically every MP in New Zealand gets to sort of pick a youth MP to represent them, to go to Parliament in Wellington over 2 days in July usually, and just sort of have a mock Parliament, I guess, and get the experience to see what it's actually like to be an MP. And also it's a 6 month term, so I basically get to shadow you around for 6 months and find out what you do with your life. And we also get the opportunity to bring up issues that we're passionate about, and gives us a bit of a voice in the community, which I think is super important, especially as a young person in this space.
So, awesome. Yeah. So when you're down there in Parliament, you'll get to sit in the debating chamber to potentially ask and answer questions, maybe go to select committee and discuss issues and all of that.
Yeah, no, for sure. That'll be an amazing experience, especially because I guess how many other young people in the world get to go to Parliament and, you know, personally hold their government accountable, which is going to be an awesome experience. So yeah, we definitely get to go attend select committees and sit in chambers, which is going to be fun.
So what motivated you to apply to be a youth MP?
Yeah, so I guess I was always, I'm still really passionate about young people in the community, and I think it's super important to give young people the time of your day. And I think the Youth MP program is super important just to get young people, like-minded young people in a room to speak about issues that they're passionate about. And so for me, it was mostly, this is a cool opportunity to sit in a room with a bunch of other young people that are motivated, passionate and determined about stuff that they care about. And, you know, there are very limited spaces in the world at the moment where you get to have conversations like that and where you get to be put in spaces like that with other young people. So I thought it would be such a valuable experience and just an amazing learning opportunity from the inside, I guess. Because, you know, when else are you going to get to shadow a MP unless you work for them, right?
True. Now, I do want to get on to some of the specific issues that you are interested in and also some of the work that you do with organisations like UN Youth. Mm-hmm. But before that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Ishi and I study a conjoint of law and global studies at the University of Auckland. So I'm in my second year at the moment, and basically I study law because I'm passionate about speaking up about stuff that I care about, and also I'm really keen on things like advocacy, and I guess I have a loud voice, so I'd like to use it to help the voiceless, I guess. And I've always enjoyed things like reading and writing. And global studies I do because it was super easy decision for me coming out of high school. I was so confused about what to do. I wanted to do arts and commerce and science and everything. And basically global studies allows me to do all of the above. So basically that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Excellent. Tell me a little bit about your work with UN Youth.
Yeah, so I'm a volunteer for UN Youth at the moment. So UN Youth is Aotearoa's largest Youth for Youth charity. Mm. And so basically they run events and programs throughout the country to promote civics education for young people. And so I volunteer in the Auckland region and I sit on the Auckland Regional Council for that. And basically overall I run the HSA program, which stands for High School and ambassadors. So we have, so in the Auckland region, it's the Auckland region starts from the top of Cape Reinga to around Taupo, and it focuses on bringing civics education and making it accessible to young people to bring into their communities. And so basically I get to work with a bunch of young people from all over the Auckland region and help them make civics education more accessible within their community. So we provide them resources and workshops and heaps of access to our events and get them to promote our events as well. So, yeah, so basically just getting young people to talk about stuff that they care about. So giving them facilitating spaces to do that, essentially.
And do you get to do this in your old high school as well?
Yeah, so I was a high school ambassador in high school too. But I guess it's different because certain schools have just more resources, more capability, more numbers, and more power to do stuff like that. The school that I came from didn't exactly, but I think it did set up a great pathway for me to come into this space. And yeah, like I'm a youth MP for Maunga Keke, which is the electorate that I went to high school in, and I wouldn't have known it existed if I didn't go to that high school. Like I remember when you were campaigning, I saw your posters all over my community, and I was like, oh, this sounds like, you know, this sounds like pretty cool when I applied to be a youth MP as well. So yeah, I guess if I didn't go to school there, I wouldn't get opportunities like this. So in a sense, I think it was still worth it. Yeah.
It's good to know that our campaign did actually work.
No, they definitely did.
Awesome. I think that's a good segue into some of the issues that you are, you know, particularly passionate about. Mm. And I know that civics education is one.
Yeah.
And you spoke about it during the selection process that I ran for the Youth MP program that you did really well at.
Oh, thank you.
So do you want to start maybe by telling us a little bit about what, you know, not everyone, I think people might have a slightly different idea about what civics education actually is. So it might be a good starting point if you just maybe elaborated a bit on what it actually is.
I guess essentially in a very broad sense, civics education is just an awareness about the world around you and just knowing what's going on outside of your sphere, outside of your own atmosphere. So for me, civics education is like knowing about what's going on in other parts of the world or knowing what's going on in politics and how that works, knowing how our government's elected, knowing, you know, what issues are going on and sort of finding your values around that. So in a very broad sense, it's just an awareness of what's going on around the world and what's going on outside your immediate circle.
Why is that important, though?
I think going forward in life, it's super important just to know stuff, just to know what's going on around you, just to be, you know, just to be actively, if we want to foster, you know, a sense of global citizenship, that's where the world is moving towards today. Just sort of having an awareness gives you a lot of power in a lot of sense. Like I am like a strong believer in like knowledge is power and how you utilize that. So it's important to know things and it's important to get out there because at the end of the day, you can't make change and you can't fix what you don't know about. So it's important to know in order to help.
I guess also to know what the channels are to use that knowledge to then affect change, perhaps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, I guess it's not enough just knowing about stuff if you don't know what to do about it or how to fix the situation. Like things that I'm passionate about, I would never have known if it wasn't for just me getting out there and doing stuff, you know? So
Yeah. And from what you've said previously, it sounds like there is they're quite different levels of civics education at schools. So what do you think we could do better? What do you think needs to happen?
I think a more streamlined process, to be honest. I think the government, or I guess in terms of the educational curriculum, should be amended to include civics education as one of the compulsory things that's been taught. I genuinely believe that civics education is just as important as math or English or science that's currently, you know, compulsory in the curriculum that's being taught to our students. I mean, not to diminish the importance of math, science, English, etc., but what's the point in knowing those things if you get out in the real world and you can't actually utilize them? Because at the end of the day, they are just mediums. Civics education provides you with channels. It provides you with ways to actually, you know, fix the situation, you know. So And it also just fosters a sense of global citizenship within our students, which I think is super important. I think it's super important for young New Zealanders to start thinking about what's happening outside of their own world, especially in high school. High school is kind of like a fishbowl. It's very easy to get trapped in that circumference, in that area, and stop realizing what's going on outside. But high school is a time where young people start building their own values and beliefs, and if we don't give them opportunities to learn about issues, then they walk out of high school with the same mindset of my entire life is still in this sphere. And it's super important to just give young people the chance to learn about issues and give young people the opportunity to explore expanding their values and beliefs, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And do you think other young people, I know that, you know, generally those of you who get involved in political parties or apply for things like the Youth MP program come either from a specific mindset or family or a set of circumstances that exposes them to these things. Do you think your peers, do you think other young people are actually interested?
To address your first point, I definitely agree it takes a certain mindset, takes a certain set of circumstances for you to be able to do these things. But that's a equitability/accessibility point of view as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when I come into these spaces, I do think we're kind of preaching to the converted, because young people that come and speak at these forums, that come and apply to do these things, are already in the mindset of thinking outside of their circles. They're already in the mindset of, you know, I'm passionate about these issues and this is a forum for me to talk about them, you know? So I guess, and sorry, what was the other half of your question?
Oh, just whether young people in general are interested, yeah.
I think everyone's interested in having a say. Mm-hmm. I just think they don't know it yet because they haven't been given the opportunity to do it yet. So, yeah.
Okay. So then how, and this is a question that I'm often asked, and so I'm going to put it to you. Mm-hmm. Now, given that we're at a point where many people your age, or slightly older in their 20s, perhaps, may not have had civics education in their high school. So that group of people who, some of them are engaged, for different reasons, some aren't. How do we ensure, what can we do to engage those people in the political process? So it may not necessarily be party politics, but given that decisions that we make in the House of Representatives affects people, so, you know, anything from housing to transport to employment to the amount of, you know, leave that you can take, those decisions, education, all those decisions, legislative decisions that are made in the House have an impact on people's lives. And so from that point of view, I agree with you. I think people should have the opportunity to have a say. Some people, as you pointed out, don't realize that they can or don't know what channels are available to them. Mm-hmm. How do we reach that group of young people and get them involved in the process?
I think it's about making them realize the link between, hey, these are things that affect your life on a daily basis, and these are the people that make decisions that allow that to happen. I guess younger me would have not really realized that, like, how much of an effect government and politics has on my life. I think it's making them realize that politics truly does play a very crucial role in your life, and it dictates the way you live every single day. I think...
So you think getting that message out to young people would be a good starting point?
Yeah, I think making them realize, like, hey, the decisions that are made every day by the people you elect are decisions that are going to affect you and probably your siblings, your children for future generations as well. Mm. So, yeah.
Yep. No, I think that's a great point. And at this point, I'm going to do a little bit of a shout out to two youth groups that I've had of it to do with in the Maungakeke, lectured in the past few months. And one's the 312 Hub in Onehunga, which started out as a space for young people to come in and be creative and, you know, just give them a bit of a space to be.
Yeah.
And now they're leading quite a few projects on the Onehunga side of the Maungakeke electorate and doing some amazing work. Yeah.
How did that start? Was it like something to do with like a bus stop being taken away or something, the 312 bus?
No, that came later, actually. Oh, yeah. So they were already there and they had a space quite close to Dress Mart that they're still in at the moment. A really cool space. We should check it out at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, so they started out as a place, you know, for young people to just come and be creative and no strings attached. And they've become a bit of a go-to in terms of some of the issues that are Onehunga specific. So when the 312 bus was cut, they felt that quite strongly because, of course, they're the 312 hub.
Yeah.
And 312 became, over the years, morphed into a bit of an identity for Onehunga. So it wasn't just a bus anymore. And so they felt quite passionately about that bus being cut, but didn't quite know what channels they could access to have their voice heard. And so that's where I got involved with them sort of we, you know, started having a chat.
That's such a cool story, though. Wow.
Yeah, and actually, in a way, it encapsulates what we've been talking about today as well, just in terms of, you know, sometimes it's a bit, and I can relate to that because before I went into Parliament, it was, you know, I knew some of the channels, but didn't exactly know how things worked, you know, 10 years ago.
Well, nobody does, really. Like, nobody teaches you in schools, like, oh, this is who you contact if you have a problem. You know, that's not a conversation that comes up until stuff actually happens in your life and you need to talk to someone about it, someone up there, so, Yeah.
And the other group is Flipping East out in Panmure. Yeah. So on the other side of the Maungakeke electorate. So a bit of a shout out to them as well because they're a group of young people who are incredibly passionate about ensuring that youth voices are heard both at the the starting point of developing policy and legislation, but also at the end of implementing it. And sort of they've asked me some really good questions that I will get back to them about on how to make sure that strategies that government comes up with are implemented in a way that addresses the needs of local communities, which I thought was a very astute question.
That's so awesome, though. Like, you know, really getting down to the grassroots level of it. That's super awesome to hear. Wow.
Yeah, no, and we'll go out and meet with both of them as well with you. So going back to your point about civics education in schools. Now, from what you said, it's about both knowing your political processes to be able to make change, but also about global awareness. So it sounds like it could be quite a broad area to put into a curriculum. Have you got any thoughts about what specific aspects of that you would want taught?
Yeah, I mean, like when I was in high school, I think the only really civics-y thing that we did was in year 10 social studies, and we did a topic on our government. And we basically talked about MMP and very briefly touched on sort of how our government is organized. But obviously this was in year 10, so I was a 14-year-old, you know, quite nervous young Indian girl at a school, and I didn't understand what was going on most of the time. And at that time, I didn't think it would be quite relevant to me. I was like, oh, at that time I wanted to do medicine, I wanted to be a doctor. So I was like, I'm never going to know this. I don't, you know, it's not important. And then I started to realize, oh, wait, like this affects me. And then in about year 12 and 13, when I started actually getting into politics, not even just politics, but just about things that I care about in the world, I realized, my school doesn't actually teach me any of that. So I remember leaving high school not really knowing much about what's going on around the world, because I took subjects like, I took like sciences, and I took English, and I took math, and I took economics, which are all awesome subjects, but they didn't really teach me about what's going on outside of that subject, which I understand is, you know, I get the point of that, but I literally left high school not knowing how to do anything, to be honest. I didn't know how to apply for a student loan. I didn't know how to, you know, apply for a tax refund. I didn't know how to, I didn't know how to vote either.
Right.
Yeah. So, I guess that's one of the big things, you know. School doesn't teach you that. It teaches you amazing skills in terms of analytics, but it really doesn't teach you life skills. And I guarantee you could ask almost any young person, they'll say the same thing. It doesn't teach you enough life skills. So, yeah.
So working backwards from that, then you would want, I guess, in addition to some of what you learned in terms of what MMP is and how that relates to your vote, some really practical, specific things about how to vote, how to access, like what you've said, you know, loans and things like that, because you go on to perhaps taking out a student loan, maybe driver's licenses that's actually come up, and you'll know that the government's made some changes in that space from the viewpoint
no,
that
for sure.
not everyone can access a driver's license, and that's an issue. What else? What else would you to see in a civics education program?
The thing is, like, look, some schools are awesome in Auckland, and some schools already do this. They already provide so many extra programs for their schools, for their students to participate in and get involved and learn about things. And, you know, I know schools that have workshops on how to, you know, on politics, and have workshops on how to apply for this and get your driver's license and all that amazing stuff. But a lot of schools don't. Mm. And I think it's about balancing the scales. Mm. Because, look, I know this is what life is like. At the end of the day, some people just come out with a natural advantage, and that's nobody's fault. However, I think the government could do a little bit better in terms of balancing the scales within their limits of amending the curriculum. You know, the New Zealand curriculum is awesome, and it teaches you the basics, and it teaches you, you know, how to count and trigonometry and all that sort of fun stuff, I guess. But at the end of the day, it still produces students that are very rote-type learners, that are very, you know, traditional in that sense. And I guess education can do a lot more, especially in New Zealand. We're in an amazing position to be able to do this. You know, the current government's very passionate about education. And, I mean, you know, they made first year free for people like me, you know, because of that I got to go to uni for free last year, which is awesome. But, yeah, in terms of high school, like, I feel like in high school, if a lot of people in my sphere, because I went to a DSAL through high school, doesn't say anything about the type of students it produces, but there is stats directly related to, you know, the DSAL of your school, the upbringing of your neighborhood and your socioeconomic circumstance, and links to further tertiary study, and links to, you know, I guess, more academia in the future. Yeah, and opportunities as well. So with that comes the fact that I feel like if my high school provided a lot more opportunities for young people to sit down and talk about issues, and provide them a lot more opportunities to apply for a student loan, to learn about issues that they're passionate about. Because I guess at that stage, your things that you're passionate about still quite directly, or your political values, I guess, still quite directly linked to your parents. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember in high school when I was 16, my views were pretty aligned with my parents. But now, after learning about the world and how it works, I realized, oh, actually, my views are very different. Well, I guess not very, but pretty different. And I wouldn't have known that. And that's totally fine, right?
So I have a question for you now. You've said that you think that the government should put this into, you know, the curriculum, if that's impossible. And we've talked about channels to make change. Million-dollar question. Did you put in a submission when government was, government had held quite a few sessions around the country to get people to input into change. So education reform, basically, and what changes they wanted to see and things like that. Were you aware of that?
No, because I didn't know there was a submission even happening.
Right. Okay, so maybe that's something we think about in terms of how we get some of those messages about what's open for people to submit to in a way that's a bit better. Now, moving on a little bit to climate change, because I know that's another area that you're quite passionate about. Tell me a little bit about why this is important to you and what you think we can do better.
I guess in young people in Aotearoa, we're in such a privileged position to do something about it. I guess growing up in New Zealand, I have sort of grown up with nature around me, you know, like, you know, hikes on the weekend and swims at the beach and just, you know, being in outdoors all the time. And I guess, you know, that's really, and I'm quite privileged to be able to have that experience growing up. And I guess, because at the end of the day, my like moral philosophy towards this is you protect what you care about. You protect what you have like close connections to. And I have quite close connections to the environment, my outdoors, because I grew up with it, right? And I feel like for a lot of New Zealanders and young Kiwis, you know, the situation's quite similar. We all grew up, you know, playing sport, or, you know, going to the beach or doing stuff outside. And so I think it's super important for us to protect what we care about, and, you know, moving on for our future generations. I think, you know, taking the idea of kaitiakitanga in mind, it's just our moral responsibility to act as guardians for our future and, you know, for our children and, you know, their children. It's just it's just what it is. It's a moral responsibility that we hold to our future future generations. Yeah.
And I think that was extremely well put.
Oh, thanks.
And what do you think we can do better?
Okay. So, again, in high school, I didn't know this was an issue, right? Because I guess it all links back to civics. That's where I got to learn about climate change, because that's where I started learning about what's going on around the world. Like 2015, when the Paris Agreement came out, I was incredibly confused as to what was going on. And then I actually sat down and did a bit of research on it. And I realized, like, wow, this is actually super cool. What countries around the world are doing to help, you know, sort of abate the effect of climate change in our world. And I was like, wow, what can New Zealand do about this? But again, my peers didn't know what the Paris Agreement was. My peers were just not, you know, as engaged with that topic. But then I sat down and I had a yarn to them over lunchtime, and they were like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I can't believe this is going on in the other parts of the world. And so, yeah, I mean, sorry, I completely forgot your question. Sorry, I go on tangents about this sort of stuff.
I hadn't noticed. The question was, what can we do better?
Right. I think it comes back to education in a sense. Like, again, I didn't know this was an issue until someone sat me down and we just had a chat about it. And then I started realizing how important it was. Mm. So I didn't realize climate change was happening at all. So it's about awareness and education. Because at the end of the day, you can't help what you don't know about.
Sure. And awareness is definitely a good first step, educating people about why this is important, potentially as well. Mm-hmm. But then what?
And then I guess after that is, it's all about empowerment, right? Because once you're aware of the issue, it's about realizing the connection you have to it. Mm. And it's about empowering you to do something about it.
Mm. So what should we do? So is it about carbon emissions for you? Is it, what do you think, the zero carbon bill that the government's been working on would be?
Yeah. I think the zero carbon bill is an excellent start. And I remember when the submissions for that was going on, I submitted for that, definitely.
Good
because
on you.
Yeah, well, I knew it was a thing now, so I definitely submitted for that. A lot of my friends submitted for that because things like the climate strikes that are happening, you know, youth are at the forefront of that. Mm. And I think they realize that at this point, that it is our future and it is, you know, our rightful duty to hold the government and each other accountable to that. Mm. So I guess it's more than providing them spaces. It's empowering young people to make a change and giving them your time of day, not shutting them down when they come to you with stuff like this, when they want to have a yarn too about, you know, climate change politics. And with the zero carbon bill, I mean, I'm very impressed by it. I think it's a great idea. I personally believe it could still be happening all a little bit faster, but I completely understand due process and, you know, how government works and all that, so I get
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. Now, this is probably going to be one of our final questions, mm-hmm. or our final question. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I'm an RA, so I'm a resident advisor at one of the first year halls at University of Auckland. So I guess I'm always on duty there. But what do I do for fun? Honestly,
I just mentioned hikes.
Oh, that's a good point. So in high school, I did Duke of Ed. So Duke of Edinburgh is basically a program that gets you outdoors and gets you doing stuff. So I love hiking. I absolutely love it. I guess, what was the last hike I did? I did the Coromandel hike with some of my mates a couple of weekends ago. Mm. From Duke of Ed, I guess my passion for hikes and outdoors has really, really increased a lot. And I guess,
That's awesome. I love how everything that you've said today actually links together quite well, right, from
education. Yeah, and I guess living in New Zealand is just, we're just in a privileged position to have that, so, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Hey, Ishi, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been lovely to get to know you a little bit better and what you're passionate about and what you're going on to do. I'm sure you're going to go on to inspire many people. So thank you once again. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Until next time, ka kite anō.
get together next.